You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Rescue. What a promise it is. How do you know that's a promise? Jesus said that when he told the parable of the prodigal son. The lesson is not so much in that the son returned, but that the father undignified himself to run after him. In those days, you wore a robe. A lot of people still do in that part of the world. Basically, it's, you know, neck all the way down. It's just a robe. That's kind of the way it is, tied probably in the middle. And if you wanted to run, you had to gather it up underneath and tie it off, you know, and pull it. Your legs were exposed, and it was a very undignified thing to do. But God has undignified himself to rescue you. That's what he was doing with his son. It's illustrated there very, very clearly and very rejoicingly in the Bible as Jesus told that story. It's pretty cool. And every time he tells the story, it's amazing. You just can picture the people around him gasping like that in the things that he says. It's pretty cool. I gasp when I'm still trying to wrap this around my head. Climbing every peak in the Adirondacks is one of the things that people do. They set out, they check them off. I climbed Mount Marcy, I climbed them, and when you get all of them done, you are a member of the 46ers Club, because, my friend, there are 46 summits in the Adirondack Mountains. 46 of them. So how young do you think the youngest climber would be? Well, Mavy, which is, it's spelled M-A-E-B-H, which is the Irish spelling of that word, Mavy, which means to cause to be joyous, I believe. That's probably what their parents were thinking. Mavy Nesbitt became the youngest person to summit all 46 of the Adirondack Mountain high peaks last month, checking off the last peak of her list just 2 days before she turned five. She's technically 4 years old, but she's right there at five. Her mom told Good Morning America that it became a family goal once they realized how much their little girl loved to climb the outdoors and to hike with her mom. Now, when she was pregnant with her, of course, they were still climbing. And she said, you're climbing with me when I was pregnant with you. It's amazing. Of course, Mount Marcy is the highest peak, and that's the last one they did. And she became a member of that incredible club. Her husband is also in the group. I guess he happens to be the president of the 46ers group. So it's a cool story, though. She obviously loves to do it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's a little video of her, and she is just doing it. But, man, oh, man. I mean, you know, I got like a couple of them.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
I've got a smile on my face and a twinkle in my eye.
The Sound of Life.
This guy is a hero. He really is. He wears a T-shirt, or he wore it because they've already started back to school, or he goes to school. And it says in big letters, I will be your friend. And his name is Blake. And you know why he wears that? Because he has experienced bullying already. So he knows what it's like. He's 6 years old. But he wanted everybody in his elementary school to know that he would be their friend. And his mother said, I'll make you that custom-made shirt. It does not look like mom made that shirt. If you know what I'm saying, mom, you did a great job on that. He said, the mother said it could have been anything. I said, it can be a basketball theme or football. What's your favorite thing that you want to put on there? And he said, would you please make me a shirt that says, I will be your friend, for all the kids who need a friend to know that I am here. And without hesitation, mom of 4 kids got to work creating Blake's orange T-shirt with green text that reads, I will be your friend.
The Sound of Life.
And, of course, great news for chocolate lovers. Isn't it always a new study out? Scientists just seem to keep finding new health benefits linked to this delicious superfood. Man, Hershey's never knew, did he? That's amazing. Or maybe he did. I don't know. The latest study shows dark chocolate reverses depression. Really? You had to have a study for that? Everybody's like, all the women are rolling their eyes like, you're not telling me something I don't know already. We keep stashes of chocolate around here just for that very reason. Maybe a secret shouldn't be out, but researchers from the University College London and University of Calgary and Alberta Health Services, they studied like 13,000 adults in the United States and found that over a 24-hour period, those who ate dark chocolate were 70% less likely to show symptoms of depression. Oh, yes, indeed. However, now don't get too carried away. There is this caution in this study. There's a couple of caveats, of course, and you probably know what I'm talking about. It has to be dark chocolate, all right? And a lot of people I know aren't that keen on dark chocolate because Mr. Hershey took and put milk with it and sugar, which is real sugar. We all know that's bad for you, right? And your health. But your portion size is a big deal, too. So it's a little bit of dark chocolate. So
you got serious thrill issues, dude.
It's Cup of Joe Morning Show.
With Joe Hunter.
I'm just getting warmed up.
The sound of life.
You see about the child that's standing up on the street corner in a typical U.S. neighborhood, got a big handmade sign, and it says, ice cold beer for sale. And people were going by going, what is this 8-year-old doing out there selling beer? And of course, he was smart. And he actually, some people actually called the authorities on him. And they came in and they looked at his sign, actually had right above the word beer, root, in a different letter, I mean a different coloring, root beer. That's what he was, and that's what he had in the cooler. And his sales went up quite a bit. He said, yeah, I just thought of that on my own. And I thought, are you kidding me? You're bombarded with 5,000 ads a day. You saw that someplace, probably. But I shouldn't say that. But today actually is National Root Beer Float Day. And the float part of that is the ice cream, of course, that makes the root beer really nice and sweet, sweeter and creamier and all that stuff. You know, and a lot of people really like it. My kids, my two sons have kind of grown up making ice cream concoctions. They put the ice cream in the microwave for just the right amount of time. You know, when they would do this, and my wife, I like, I go, did you teach them how to do that? But I didn't have anything to do with it. And they would let it soften up, and they would mix it different things in there, you know, just use your imagination. It's actually pretty cool. It really is. I was thinking about, they always, when you rush to the help of someone, you get labeled a good Samaritan, which is perfectly understandable. Samaritans were very much outcast, and the people that I'm looking at in this photograph would not be described as outcast people. But in any event, they are very good, a very good deed to run and risk their own safety to try to save someone else. They were looking at an SUV that had run off the road and hit a tree, and the thing was about to turn over. It was teetering. And people, one by one, just got out there and went and helped. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, it looks like, by the time this guy gets over there, people that can just barely put their hands on the car, but enough to keep it upright. And Mike said, his friend said, you got to go out there. They need your muscles, man. He said, it's like the first thing that comes into your mind. Well, it's just that you want to help someone who's in need, and you just run and do it. It was smoking. People didn't know what was going to happen. It's got a gas tank on it, you know. So they just kind of not thinking about that, right? They said, instinct, is it built in? Did God build that in? And so that's just the natural thing that happens. And if it doesn't, you kind of like fight against it, you know. It's very interesting, and kudos to those people who ran and helped, and their instinct kicked in. I would say you could use the A word in this.
Awesome.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
I'm sure that you would agree that if there was ever a time we needed Jesus, we could cry out and say, I need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. And on a sub note, I get a devotional every day via email from Devotionals Daily. And I guess there was a book out called Jesus, I Need You, or some type of a publication. And they, in a very timely publication themselves, have decided to post this download, and I'm going to share it with you right here. It's a series of devotions for 5 days, all right? And it's taken from the book, Jesus, I Need You. Devotions, prayers, written as letters, really. They handpick the devotions for anybody that's hurting right now. That's it. Anybody that's like wondering, well, what's going on, right? You want to draw near to Jesus. He hears your cry. That's the thing. He hears your cry, and he draws close to people who are suffering and people who are in sorrow. And the very first devotion is, You Are My Refuge. Now, the thing that's interesting is normally when the daily devotional comes, it tells you who did it, you know. And normally it's a pretty well-known pastor or leaders. But with this one, I'm not sure who it's from. So it's Bible verses and thoughts right there. And it's, you know, as the world sometimes is a frightening place, I guess it always has been to some extent. Jesus, when the world seems dark, you're the one with the light. Absolutely.
The Sound of Life.
Boy, I tell you, this is just so appropriate, so like God, that scientists would use pig noses to improve the scent of sweaty clothes. It just makes so much sense. It says, of course it's going to come from the protein found in pigs' noses. I mean, it's not a surefire way to make you smell like roses, but they're working on it. It's amazing. They've got the technology, and there's a couple of different ways of doing it at a university, a couple of different places around. Engineers, of course, teaming up to modify a cotton fabric so that it will actually let off a citronella aroma when it comes in contact with sweat. Man, I'm going to smell like about 10 of those packages, of 10 packages of citronella candles. And that's, I mean, I'm not talking about right now. I'm just meaning, you know, like when you work out and stuff like that. So, and they do indeed, one of the methods is a protein found in pigs' noses that binds the scent to molecules. That's the key right there. They're working on that. See, they got the technology. That's what I call working technology for good. Pretty amazing. There's a second method that involves like these liposomes rather than proteins and stuff. I could go into that, but I didn't even understand it myself. But it works. It's kind of the way it is. I mean, you know, maybe one day it'll be more than just the citronella aroma. Maybe you can like, you know, say, hey, I'll take the shirt that has the whatever, you know, that polo scent, whatever, you know, that something like that. But anyway, they're working on it, and I say the sooner the better. Get that stuff over here right now.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The Sound of Life.
I want to make sure that you know about the hashtag El Paso Challenge. A lot of people in the news talking about it. It's a great idea. He's not the first kid to have a great idea, obviously. The news jumped all over it. Sixth grader Ruben, you know, he wants to hold up posters, pass out flyers, promote the challenge on Facebook. He's got the hashtag El Paso Challenge, and the news is all over it. And he's trying to help people heal in El Paso, Texas, of course. And the idea is to challenge is for the people there and you, me, you know, we should all be challenged to do good deeds for others. And the people involved, like 22, and then do 22 good deeds, okay? So that's good. I mean, that's a lot more productive than doing 22 push-ups, I guess. I mean, I don't know, but just seems kind of neat. He had some great ideas, like mowing someone's lawn or a nursing home visit. That's awesome. Pay for someone's lunch. Donate to families in need. They're all very, very cool. And we should really have that attitude. Anyway, shouldn't we? I mean, you know, but it's pretty neat. I mean, people need a challenge. That's good. If it causes people to come together, that's even better. That's pretty amazing. Let's see. Who decided to do that? He decided to do his first. He delivered dinner to the first responders. That's what he did. That was his first thing right there. Doesn't have to be, you know, it's just something that you say, okay, I'm gonna do this. Be kind of neat. Because it's almost like when the disciple came to Jesus. How many times are we supposed to forgive? I think, wasn't it, in the Jewish rules, was it three times, I think? And the disciples said, well, are we supposed to forgive like seven times, maybe? Did we do that seven times? He said, I'm telling you, seven times 70. So that's just like, we just keep on forgiving, right? So the challenge really is to keep on, when you see an opportunity, do it. And don't just check off a certain number, right? That's kind of the thing. Jesus would probably say, do you want me to do 22 good things? I say, 22 times 22.
Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter. The Sound of Life.
Today's an anniversary, a big anniversary, actually, for Lynn Cox. I don't know what happened to Lynn Cox after she braved the freezing waters of the Bering Strait. The Bering Strait goes between the Soviet Union and the United States, and it runs the other way, too. Well, she became the first person, and maybe the only person, to swim from the United States to the Soviet Union, and she did it. In 1987, she said, I was quite surprised at the warm reception. In case you don't know, in its narrowest point, it is 51 miles. 51 miles to swim. Now, the thing is, I don't know what Lynn Cox's intentions were, but it really did help to ease the Cold War tensions. And kids, if you're not sure what the Cold War is, then you have to ask your parents. Ask your grandparents, what's the Cold War? Hell, you'll get, ooh. A big explanation. So it's kind of cool. And I was thinking of things that people do. And I was thinking of my, I have three brother-in-laws, and one of them, was in the Army, and, he did a really smart thing, kids. If you're coming up and, you're thinking about going to college and stuff, and the cost of it and stuff. Well, he was in ROTC in high school, got into college, was in ROTC, ended up going into the Army. They educated him. And highly educated him. And yes, you do have to serve, but, it's a pretty, incredible. I've seen that firsthand, way to go. But, he has always kind of played Army his whole life, ever since I remember him, So he's never stopped. And he, I think this is the year of his 50th birthday, but I want to tell you something. Last weekend, he ran in the Lake Placid and completed the Lake Placid Triathlon. And I'm just thinking about the endurance that it takes to do that. Now, I don't know if you're familiar. That's three events that you have to do. You have to swim, ride a bicycle, and you have to run. Now, some of them are not as long as the lengths are not as long as the others. Some of them are actually half as long. The Ironman Triathlon originated in Hawaii, and that's his big dream there to go do that. Actually, was stationed in Hawaii for a while in the Army, but I want you to know the swimming. And he's quite a swimmer, always was, and a long distance swimmer. It's a good thing because in this you have to swim over 2 miles. 2 miles swimming. All right, then you have to get out and ride your bike for 112 miles. Now, right away, you're like, I might do that in a lifetime, all in one day. And then you have to get off of that and run, jog, do the best you can to run a marathon, which is over 26 miles. And to give you an idea of the endurance of that, he did it in under 12 hours. And I was just kind of finding out about that, and my jaw dropped. I said, that's just... Isn't that off the charts? I mean, you go to a workout class for half an hour, 45 minutes or something, think you're sweating. Whew, that is just, it's just really amazing. I'm very proud of him. All the training for that and stuff like that, to be able to do that. I think what I'll do is I'll just say I'm training for the triathlon. I'll just do that.
How are you feeling on this glorious day?
Yeah. Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and day is going to get better and better.
So you're a puppy. You're a cute little puppy. The only thing is you're missing a leg. So that makes it awkward for you. You can't get around. It's very noticeable, and you're sitting there at the humane shelter, and you're just like, and you're trying to think positive thoughts. I know the right person's got to be the right person to come along, and days go by, and people are looking at the other dogs, and, oh, that's so cute, just kind of going on by you, and all that. And you keep thinking and you keep saying, well, I know what's going to be. It'll be right. And sure enough, one day, man comes along and you can just tell it's right, probably. When he looked at him, he goes, we're made for each other. Because he was a wounded soldier who was missing a leg too. And he adopted him. That really happened. Yeah, it sure did. And the wounded soldier said he makes it easier, meaning the dog, makes it easier for me to remember, hey, it's still a beautiful day. You realize really just how tremendous a journey life is. Okay? So there we go. All right. We're made for each other. Believe it.
Love your broadcast. Love your show. Love the station. God bless you guys, and thank you.
The Sound of Life.
I was listening to a recording. You probably don't realize this, but there was a big test of the emergency activation system. It was a big nationwide thing, you know, and all this, and I guess we passed with flying colors. I was just listening. I remember in the old days, the tone that used to come over, I had a very ugly, piercing sound. And I just wanted to hear that again and relive that. And I did. And it satisfied me. it was actually like two tones put together that made a really awful sound. But I happened to come across a very famous, unfortunately for this particular, not me, but the announcer that was on the station at WOWO in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the good old days of real radio broadcasters, you know, that were very concerned about articulating and had the deep baritone voice and talked to you and straightway and gave you information and stuff. And they came across, and it was basically a false alarm. And it had come out of an Air Force base. And so the emergency system was activated, but they didn't know why. And so the announcer's like, as soon as we find out the information of what to do, we will be right with you and tell you what to do. If you're not in the Fort Wayne area, please go and listen to another radio station or listen to a station that has that information. And they were, you could tell the urgency in his voice. We are scouring now our wires, our news wires, and that literally meant, because it came by wire in those days. We're trying to find out what's going on, what the information is. Can you imagine what that must have been like for a few minutes? Maybe 5 minutes went by and he's on the air. He's not going to play music or do any kind of entertainment. We have suspended all commercial activity right now. We have an emergency activation for you. And so he was talking about this, and then it was discovered that it was a false. And he goes, well, we have just discovered this is just in. The Air Force base sent out the wrong message. And he kind of went, And I thought, boy, is he relieved. He is just inside. He is giggling like a six-year-old at a birthday party. I mean, you know, he's just like, praise God, there's nothing wrong. It's okay, well, we'll resume normal broadcasting. It was just a false alarm. Thank God. And I knew he wanted to say that. Boy, that was sometimes it's when you're in the business, it's neat to relive and realize that, you know, we're all in this together, and we all have the same, kind of like when parents get together of young children. Really? You too? It's pretty cool.
The Sound of Life.
So we found out all the plastic in the ocean's coming from. China, and then there's Indonesia. But Indonesia really starting to do something about it, especially in the city of Surabaya. There's almost 3 million people there, so whatever they do would be pretty significant. I couldn't believe the amount they're doing. But so they came up with an idea. It's really pretty ingenious and can be done probably anywhere. And it gets people catching on. All those plastic bottles, they said, what you do is turn them in for bus rides. And they go, what? Okay. So there's even collection stations. You bring in your plastic, big bags and things like that, and they weigh it, and they give you tickets for bus rides. It's pretty cool, and it's working. There's even bottle containers on the bus. More and more people are going, wait a minute, you mean I can trade in all these bottles that I normally would just throw in the garbage, and I can take bus rides? So more and more people are using public transportation than whatever else they would be doing. Okay, the buses are running anyway. So now everybody's complaining because the bus is crowded. No, just teasing. But the thing that was amazing is that, and they have a goal set, which are pretty ambitious, but the authorities were saying in a month. Now, you know how much an empty plastic bottle weighs? In a month, they collect nearly 6 tons of plastic rubbish from the passengers who ride the buses. It's incredible. Now, the amount of tonnage that was ending up in the garbage or whatever is just phenomenal. It's just absolutely amazing. But they're doing something about it, and you've got to start doing that, right? I mean, it's not, you're not going to turn this ship around, as the saying goes, in a day. I mean, this is going to take a while. But it really is working, and they said it's interesting to see how people are, you know, not throwing away things. They're realizing it. And now people are going and looking for, you know, they're going around cleaning the place up, finding the bottles and stuff to turn them in. So it's pretty cool. And they're collecting things instead of throwing it away. And they know this is a good move. And so they're hoping that it'll spread and stuff, you know. And usually things like that do. When somebody figures out that, hey, this is actually good, you know, then it starts spreading. That's usually the way it works, right? In exchange. And one man's garbage is another guy's bus ride.
Good morning, everybody.
I wake up to him every morning.
Any questions?
Waking up with a cup of Joe. The sound of life.
So Matt Hammett, who was the lead singer for Sanctus Real, and now he does a lot of really cool things, lately has been very focused on his 9-year-old son, Bowen. Now, Bowen was born with a hole in his heart, and he's already had 2 open heart surgeries. He's 9, and he had his 3rd back at the end of July. Okay, so, and you may very well know this. Matt Hammett has posted some videos of his recovery. They've just been heart-wrenching watching this innocent little child, you know, really try to struggle. You can tell in his mind with what's going on. It's a major deal. It's a major surgery. You don't just wake up from that and, you know, get okay in the afternoon and go home. And so they've been walking him through some things, and he's been hitting the milestones, you know, and he had to have, I think it was last night, a little video or a day before of a tube coming out. Oh, man. Oh, man. But it was nothing. I mean, you know, he just, can you imagine? Oh, man. And the nurse was very good, and it just did it. And it was like, that's it. It looked on his face like, I can do this. That's it. It's cool. He's getting into music, he's been very encouraged, of course, by his family to do that. So they've been working really hard on his dream to do music. And Matt had an announcement basically late yesterday, and he wanted a drum roll in lieu of that. So here, we got to do that for him, right? Really? The moment they've all been praying for. It's not the end of recovery, but it's a big step they've been looking forward to. We just got settled into the Ronald McDonald House and are planning to head home tomorrow. And he's doing that well. So that's, it's really cool. I don't know how long he's going to be there, but it's a big milestone. Thought I'd bring you up to date on that. Thanks for praying.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
So there was a special occurrence yesterday at the Dallas airport, and everybody in the airport had privy to it, including a reporter, Jackson Proskow. He tweeted about it. It's very powerful. He's my kind of guy. I'll tell you that. He said, I was very privileged to be there when the plane carrying the remains of an American pilot shot down over Vietnam in 1967, recently recovered and identified, they were brought back to the United States. And as they're waiting at the gate, the PA system is announcing that Captain Knight is coming home to Dallas. Now, his 5-year-old son was there at the field when he left to go to Vietnam, waved goodbye. And, of course, he has grown up knowing that his father was there somewhere, and he said, I watched every one of those homecomings. I was there. I mean, you know, I was looking at it. I intently watched it. And so he had the absolute privilege of being the Southwest Airlines pilot who flew the plane home, the pilot of the plane bringing Captain Knight, his father, back to Dallas. It was pretty cool. The entire terminal came to the window to watch. He got quite a greeting when he came in. Obviously, the people on the plane knew something was up. You do, if you're there, quite an entourage. And they know something is going on. I'm sure everybody was told to just remain seated while special cargo was taken off the plane. But when the pilot gets on the PA system in front of everybody sitting on the plane to explain it. And then you know it's really special, and I'm sure a Southwest flight attendant got it on her phone. It's very powerful.
As you probably noticed, a little bit of activity going off on the right side of the aircraft. He's taking one of our servicemen home to Dallas. 52 years and coming.
I don't know if he ever finished his statement or not, because it was obviously very difficult. I mean, it was a proud moment just to witness something like that. They did announce, you know, that it was there. Everybody there said you could hear a pin drop in an airline terminal. You know, and everybody got flags. They handed out American flags to everybody. There is an obituary for him. It's pretty cool.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.